Welcome, Pew Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, joined by my boss, Mr. Scott Reynolds.
Hello.
And intern Matt doesn't have a mic this week.
What up, what up?
I guess Scott will let him borrow his every once in a while. And this is the return of the man bun.
I don't have the man
return
bun yet.
Return of the man bun. It is return of the man bun. Oh, no. Return of the man bun.
For a special off-season guest appearance here on the Pewter Nation podcast. I guess, Trevor, now we have to kind of treat you like as a guest. Thanks for joining us today, Trevor.
Thanks for joining us, Trevor.
Weird as hell, man. Really, like, I'm on really the other nice side of the table. I almost made Scott switch seats with me because I just, like, felt uncomfortable looking on the other side.
I wanted you to have the guest
you're
chair.
You're criticizing him in your head.
I'm staring at Matt. Every time he touches one of these knobs, I'm staring at him. So if he messes up, I'm just going to crack at him mid-podcast.
Trevor Sickham, a former engineer of the Pewter Nation podcast.
That's hello. Right.
Production great supervisor. To be with you guys. Great to be with you guys.
Well, we're really happy to have you, Trevor. We really are. And for you guys who don't know, obviously Trevor is still a presence on Pewter Report. He writes at Cover 3, an excellent one last week, and still does his Cover 3. He's going to be
Pewter Report Roundtable.
He's going to be part of these podcasts from time to time. But he's really concentrating and focusing his work on the Draft Network. Is it .org?
Com. We're official.
Really?
We're .com. Cool. We went straight .com.
Kidding. I know it was .com. I was just teasing. But talk about the Draft Network briefly, Trevor. We'll let you plug it a little bit.
Okay. So draftnetwork.com, myself and six other full-time writers were kind of covering the NFL draft.
It's like a cadre.
A what?
A cadre.
I would say more of a cult.
I think more of a cadre.
I kind of see these guys around. They're kind of a cult.
Okay.
I mean, the NFL draft in general is kind of a cult.
That's true.
That's
you're,
true.
You're worshiping, like, ideology, and it's real weird, right? So,
a lot of skinny jeans.
Me and six other weirdos are covering the draft, and we're covering it for not just the Buccaneers, but including the Buccaneers and the rest of the NFL, and we're doing all kinds of stuff. We've got, I think we're up to, got to be near 400 scouting profiles of players from this year's draft class, where you can go to the website, draftnetwork.com. You can type in any player, any school. You can find what we think of them, what we know the NFL thinks of them, all that kinds of stuff. And so we were covering the Senior Bowl, East-West Shrine Game. We'll be covering the Combine. And then what I'm most excited about, though, is at the end of February, we have these two, I guess I'll call them tools, coming out. One of them is a build-your-own big board, and the other one's a mock draft machine. And so with the Draft Network and with kind of our vision, we didn't just want to be telling you what we think about draft prospects. We want to let you guys kind of decide for yourself, because, you know, just speaking to Bucks fans, I know how crazy you guys are for the draft, like I am, and y'all have your opinions and everything like that, and we want to give you the tools to, like, hey, if you go look at Mel Kiper's big board and you're like, man, that's whack, or even if you look at mine and you're like, that's terrible, we want to give you, and we are going to give you the tool to be able to go in, create your own rankings, make it super easy, and then also do like a mock draft machine. So we're going to have a full simulator up there. You can pick between one to all 32 NFL teams, create your own mock draft. And so
this is
free of charge?
This is free of charge.
Free of charge.
Whole website, of charge.
Rumor has it, if somebody nails all 32 in their mock, you guys are hiring them as a full-time writer.
No, they just become commissioner of the league.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. They've been trying to – we've been working a deal to get Goodell out of there.
I think it was 2012 that Mel Kiper was 0 for 32. In the first round.
I believe it.
That's almost impossible.
That's talking about players going to specific teams at specific picks. That's not just like he didn't guess the right 32 players.
He didn't have 30, the top 32 players he didn't even have in the first round.
That'd be awful.
Yeah, no.
Jeez.
No, that would be bad. Yeah, that would probably get him to lose his job. But anyway, all right, we're happy to have Trevor join us today. We're going to talk a little draft stuff, but mainly what's coming up soon, which is the NFL Combine, which leads into the draft. But free agency, and that's really what Buccaneer fans are focused on more right now, and what we are here at Pewter Report, or at least myself. Scott's still handling the draft coverage. He had a new mock-up on Friday. If you haven't checked that out, make sure to go to pewterreport.com and check out Scott's mock draft. That was the second one, right? 2.0?
Second one, yeah. We'll have another one after the Combine, and then two more after that. One in March, and then one right before
the draft. Five-mock plan?
Yeah,
that was
five-month
plan. There you go.
We're also gonna talk about that.
We're actually gonna have some our own individual mocks, because the mocks that we do for PewterReport.com, it's a prognosis of what we think the Buccaneers are going to do. We try to really align with what we're hearing from our sources, looking at the roster and the team needs and trying to slot guys. It's not just, hey, these are the guys Scott Reynolds likes and I'm putting right. them for the Buccaneers. There have been plenty of players I've had in mocks before that I don't like. But and there have been plenty of players.
Josh Freeman.
True.
Did you not like Freeman coming out?
No.
No, he didn't.
Okay.
Well, let's say this. All right, I can say this. And Mark,
you're a K-State guy, so I wonder.
Mark Dominic might get pissed at me for saying this. This is an inside scoop story, and enough time has passed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Statute of limitations have run out.
Yes. When Mark Dominic was the general manager for the Buccaneers, he called me the night before the draft. Okay. Because Mark went to KU. I went to Kansas State. We're about the same age. I actually met Mark Dominic when I was working for Sports Information up in the press box when Mark was a scout with the Kansas City Chiefs. It was like a scouting intern.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there to scout Kansas State players. This is the fall before I graduated. This was the fall of 1994. And then we both got to Tampa the same year in 1995. And I covered the Bucs. He worked in the scouting. He was like a pro personnel assistant. And fast forward to he becomes the general manager, replaces Bruce Allen, his first draft. Now, Raheem Morris is the coach. I actually flew out to Kansas State in 2006, I want to say, 5 or 6. It was Josh Freeman's first year. He was a freshman quarterback for the Texas game. Kansas State beat number 4 Texas, knocked them out of the national championship picture, 45-42. Raheem Morris flew me out there and said, hey, man, I got some tickets. Come out and see me. So I did. Then Raheem comes back, becomes the head coach, and they're going to draft Josh Freeman. We had that in the cover of Peter Report magazine, the pre-draft issue.
Sure. Right.
Mark calls me the night before. And so
the
it was
night before the draft?
The night before the draft, yes. So it wasn't like a huge surprise that they were going to draft Josh
he
Freeman.
He called you the night before
yes.
the draft?
Yes, to pick my brain. He's like, I know that you've watched a lot of Kansas State football, you know, and I'm not saying that I'm the reason why.
Late in the process?
I am not
right?
saying I'm the reason why Josh Freeman was drafted by Kansas State.
Scott's going to shed some light.
By the Buccaneers.
What?
Yeah.
He did. He said he'll draft him. And they drafted him anyway.
Yeah. I didn't say.
What did you
this
say?
This is exactly what I said. I said, here's the thing with Josh Freeman. He's got the prototype size and arm. He's got everything physically that you want in a quarterback. I said, when he had Jordy Nelson and he had that go-to receiver, I thought he was really good. And Yaman Figures, who also had a cup of coffee in the NFL as a speed wide receiver at Kansas State. The problem is, after Jordy left, there was no running game. The offensive line was terrible. And there really wasn't a lot to throw to. So I said,
so it was basically like when he was coming to the Buccaneers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But also, too, at Kansas State, Ron Prince's first year, and Ron Prince was an awful head coach, by the way. The worst that Kansas State might have ever had.
Pretty good singer.
No, that was Prince, not Ron Prince.
Get him mixed
I don't
up.
Know if there's related, if there's a relation there.
What
was
Prince's real first name? His
Prince.
Parents didn't just name him Prince.
Yeah. No, he changed his name to his Prince,
didn't
he?
What his name was
no,
like Prince.
No, his name was Prince. I think Jimmy his first Prince. Name was Prince.
Somebody look that up.
Yeah.
No, like Prince and Mukamara.
Matt's on it.
But yeah. he was just
we got the
Prince.
Intern working it. So, James Franklin, the Penn State head coach, was the offensive coordinator during Freeman's first year. His name was Prince. I told you I'm right. Prince Rogers Nelson. There we go.
Oh,
thank
okay.
you.
Well, I knew yeah. it. Okay. All right. Well, okay. I got
not
wrong.
To be confused with Prince
Ron
Mukamara.
Ron Prince Nelson.
Yeah. And the defensive coordinator was Raheem Morris. There's the Kansas mm-hmm. State-Tampa Bay connection. And so
like the Illuminati story.
I told Mark Dominic, I said, if you can get a good offensive line around Josh and get him some good wide receivers, a running game, and better coaching because Freeman.
And Jordy Nelson.
Well, yeah, I mean, Jordy would have been better than Josh Freeman in Tampa,
right,
for sure,
right?
But if you can get better coaching, because Franklin was great, but then Ron Prince ran off Franklin and Raheem Morris after 1 year, then you might have somebody, but he's a developmental guy because he came out as a junior, 3-year starter. And I said the problem I had as a Kansas State alum is he couldn't win the big games. Yeah, he beat Texas. They were 3-0 against Texas, and Texas had some really good teams, but he was 0-3 against KU, Nebraska and Missouri, the big rivals. And to this day, if you talk about Kansas State quarterbacks, it's Michael Bishop, it's Colin Klein, it's L. Roberson, it's Lynn Dickey, it's Steve Grogan, Chad May. You never hear any Kansas State alum mention Josh Freeman as a great quarterback. So I said to Mark, I said, if he gets good coaching, if there's an offensive line around him that's better than what he had.
So what you basically said to him is he's not a first-round quarterback. Because all of the, you can't
pretty much
you
yeah.
can't say, oh, well, if you have good offensive right. line, if you have yes. good weapons, if you have a running game, if
where
you have
the Bucks
good coaching.
Drafting at that time?
19.
19. They moved up, I think, yeah. to 17 to get him.
Yeah, 19. Because that's right.
Because they were afraid that Denver was going to get him.
Last year, and they were 9-7 that
yeah.
year.
So. They were afraid Denver was going to get him. I think didn't Denver get Tim
Wait,
Tebow that
someone.
Year? Was that the same draft?
You're no, you're remember. That's not. It wasn't the same
what
year.
What year was Freeman drafted?
2009.
Yeah, it was 2 years.
Okay.
It was 2 years after Gruden. Gruden's last year was 2007.
No, 2008.
Yeah, it was 2008 was his last year.
Oh,
this was the
yeah.
this was the next year.
Okay,
2008.
Remember, you were
yes,
like
was.
4 years old. Me and Scott are old. We're old, but
we got
least
this,
remember
Trevor.
Dates
we got
pretty
this.
Good. We got yeah. this. You yeah. stay in the truck.
You didn't. you didn't sound too confident there, but all right.
Because you confused yeah. me. You gave me that look like
you're
going to be
confident.
So I'm not taking any responsibility for the Buccaneers drafting Josh Freeman.
All right.
And at the same time, I don't think Mark Domenech really. I think what he was looking for was just
clearly
some kind of validation
yeah,
or whatever.
But you didn't give it to him.
I remember.
I really didn't give it to him.
I remember in 2015 when Jason Light called me the night before the draft and asked me about Jameis Winston. I was like, do it. Do it. Do it now.
Marcus who?
Mariota's a pansy.
By the way, Jason Light never called me. That oh. didn't happen.
Wow. Anyway.
I know. You're shocked.
You.
Yeah. Yeah. It actually didn't happen. All right. So I don't know why we were talking about Josh Freeman. I have no idea. I can't even remember how we got to that point.
I don't either.
But anyway,
Trevor,
we do
help
know
us
that
out. You were the young guy. You get the
we
memory.
Do know that
no,
it was
apparently
Gruden's
I'm back
last
in the truck.
Year, 08. Yeah. Dude, just stay in the truck. You can roll the window down. Just don't talk. That's what my dad used to say.
You can roll the window down. yeah. Just don't
yeah.
talk.
You know, to yeah. breathe yeah. so he wouldn't die.
We'd like pull up at a
in
gate.
In the hot car.
And, you know, and it would, yeah. you know, hauling cat, whatever, and pull up to a gate, and I'd just sit there, and he'd be like, I got it. You just stay in the truck. And he'd go open the gate and come back. It's common courtesy in the country that the passenger gets out and opens the gate. But
45 minutes later.
Yeah. My dad was like, I got it. You stay
oh,
in the
shoot,
truck.
Oh, shoot. Mark's still in the truck.
You roll the window down, but just don't talk. But anyway, all right. So enough of that nonsense. Probably going to cut all this out of the podcast, but I don't think Matt knows how to do that. So
yeah.
it's just going to stay. All right. So we're going to move into free agency. Soon, and we're going to have some different battle plans coming up. We're going to do our annual battle plan
yes.
thing. Is that what we were getting to?
That's what we're getting to,
okay.
yes. All we're right. each going to do a Pewter Report battle plan for the Buccaneers, and we're going to actually include Matt Matera
what?
And Taylor Jenkins.
What?
Let's go. Yeah.
It's
and so
bad.
We're going to have 5 Bucks battle plans, myself, Mark, Trevor, Matt, and Taylor.
Is Matt going to do a Jets one, or is he actually going to do a Buccaneer one?
Bucks only for now.
Okay, for now.
There you go. And for the Jets fans who may visit PewterReport.com,
right.
we might allow Matt to do one specifically for them and not post it. But
No, definitely not post
yeah.
it.
But right. So we'll be doing that. Look for that later in February, probably mm-hmm. the week before the Combine. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that's always fun. Yeah.
And we do the whole thing. We look at the players that the Bucks should re-sign. And this isn't
we
just...
We get to play GM.
Well,
we're cutting
yeah,
players.
We have to play GM. Right,
let's,
restructuring deals, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want to talk about that? Do you want to talk about who the big ones are?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, don't spill the beans on your battle plan, but yeah, we can discuss it a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, let's talk about Donovan Smith. We talked
yeah.
about him in the Pewter Report roundtable, and I'm hearing that Donovan Smith is staying. And
I think that's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah,
I think people need to
happening.
Accept that.
It's just going to either be a franchise tag, which I'm in favor of and you're in favor of,
mm-hmm.
and I think you are too to a degree.
Yeah.
Or they're going to sign him to a multi-year contract extension, which will blow Buccaneer fans' minds.
You know, I had somebody in the mailbag. I don't know if it was this week or the week before, but yeah, Donovan Smith was brought up, and I said, look, you know, just face the facts. He's going to be here next year. And, of course, he somebody commented, well, how would you know? Because it's my job.
Oh,
that's what we do.
Lord.
We make phone calls. We text. We talk to people.
Yeah.
How do we know? I mean, I can't. Yeah. I'm not going to 110% guarantee it.
Right.
Because anything could happen.
We cover the team
right.
professionally
that's
here in Tampa.
Right. That'd be like me asking you, you know, why didn't you put a cover letter on your TPS report at the AutoNation job or whatever you have? I mean, that's our job. You know what I mean? I don't know what
specific.
You do. Well, I don't know exactly
I see the
what
wheels
you do.
Turning in the back of your head, trying to come up with an example.
I just it worked though.
I believe it. I don't know what any of those. I don't know what any of those words mean. But
because
I
you've never had a real job. But anyway,
that checks
the
out.
Point,
actually,
the point is we do have Billy. I mean, I know it's shocked some people. And listen, and I'm not knocking everybody and their brother. And we call them fringe media, and they kind of call themselves fringe media. You know, anybody can start their own blog, and I'm a Buccaneer insider, and this stuff like that. But I just want to let you guys know, and we're not patting ourselves on the back. Not true, we are. We're literally inside One Buck Place right now as we tape this.
Yes.
Inside one of their main interview rooms. So we really actually are Buccaneer insiders.
We're credentialed media, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and listen, so is Rick Stroud, so is Greg Allman, so is Joe Bucks fan, so is, Fred Goodall with the AP, Jenna Lane.
It doesn't make sense for them to just blatantly move on from Donovan Smith because the situation, I don't think it's conducive to that, because when you look at the Buccaneers' offensive line, it was a lot worse than what they thought it was going to be at the beginning of the year. They thought, okay, we're bringing in Ryan Jensen, mm-hmm. putting him at center.
Yep.
We're moving putting Caleb Badenoch back at right. Like, we're right. putting him, pushing him inside. That was supposed to basically complete the five,
and,
right?
And help Allie help Donovan Smith everything, out by putting everything. Allie on the
right.
left
right.
side.
And so that was supposed to complete, yeah. really. Sure, maybe, you know, maybe Caleb Badenoch was going to struggle a little bit.
But they didn't have Alex Kappa.
No way they thought it was going to be that much. Right. They ended up drafting Alex Kappa. So
and
I'm
they had
sure
George Warhop for like the 15th year in a row coaching these
I'm
guys.
I'm sure that they went.
Unfortunately.
Who Seemed is like a, it. I mean, Warhop's a respected O-line coach. So, I mean, like in theory,
good
all,
luck,
of,
Jacksonville
all of this stuff in theory yeah. lined up for the Buccaneers to not have a needed offensive line. And
right.
here we were at the end of tail end of December, and you got to go. This is a bottom offensive, like bottom five offensive line of football.
Yeah.
Like, they can't play. These dudes can't play. And so.
Certainly, in terms of quarterback pressures, they had the fourth most in the league.
Right. And so you've got to look at this realistically when you're trying to put yourself in the shoes of Jason Light, because you can't just say, well, let Donovan walk. We'll just get another one.
Yeah.
Who? Okay.
Right.
All of the good offensive tackles aren't going to hit the market.
Right.
You'll be lucky if you get one. And if you get one that hits the market,
yeah.
he's going to get 15 offers, and now you're overpaying for the dude anyway.
Well, and the thing is this isn't Madden football where people can think they can automatically get Trent Brown from
right.
New England. Do you
right.
think that Trent Brown wants to leave the Super Bowl
right. Why would
champion
he
want to
leave?
Team?
If they're going to pay him, they're going to pay him.
And you think Bill Belichick wants him to go because it's going to create a hole in his
Well,
life.
He did that for Nate's shoulder, but I mean, you can't
keep
doing that. Yeah.
But if he does hit the open market, there's 31 other teams out there, and
they're
not all of
Donovan.
Them need it.
So,
but there's going to be plenty. They're going to be competing, and now all of a sudden Trent Brown goes from being a $10 million a year guy to a $17 million a year guy.
So you got to look at the situation and say, okay, Jensen's still going to be the center, and you've got to think that he'll play better if the line plays better around him, and I think that he will. I thought last year was really frustrating for him just because the team wasn't doing well, obviously. There wasn't a lot of help on the offensive line. So you saw the penalties, and you saw him get a little bit frustrated there. I still have faith that Ryan Jensen can be fine. Same thing, obviously, with Ali Marpetti. He's a very talented offensive lineman. But then you go to right guard, and you say, okay, well, Caleb Badenoch's clearly not a starting right guard in the NFL.
Yeah.
If Alex Kappa was good enough to take that spot last year, y'all were clamoring for that dude like in November,
mm-hmm.
as if Dirk wasn't going to play the best guy to save his job, knowing
right,
he
right.
was going to get fired. Okay.
That's a good point.
If Alex Kappa could have played, he'd have played.
Right.
I promise you
yeah.
that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So
they did everything in the background to get him
so
ready.
So that to say, they need a right guard. Okay.
Yes.
That's at least one. Dotson, who has been consistent for them kind of long into. His tenure with them, and you can clearly see that he took a step back last year. He had the injury the year before. You wonder how well he's going to hold up. And just looking at his age, they know they're going to have to replace him kind of soon here. So that's really a fringe right tackle need that you need there.
Yeah.
And then you go over to left tackle, and you could say, okay, well, even if you're not happy with Donovan Smith, which I get, with Jameis Winston's fifth year, you have to do whatever you can to make sure that you are putting the best team on the field for this guy to prove that he is worth the massive amounts of money that you're going to sign him
right.
for.
You got to give him the best possible
and
conditions for the evaluation.
You cannot do that needing three offensive line holes to fill, two of which are tackles.
Right.
You just can't. That's unrealistic. That is unfair to you, to the team, to the coach, and most importantly, your overall assessment of a franchise quarterback that you are 365 days away from possibly making the richest player in the NFL.
Yeah.
You have to. So that's why.
But Jason has drafted three offensive linemen in the last 4 years. He's signed two high-priced veteran free agents in
mm-hmm.
Ryan Jensen and J.R. Sweezy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at some point, I think you have to look at it like, you know what? We've got players that have been successful. J.R. Sweezy had a pretty damn good year back up in Seattle this year.
And actually, I thought the fatal flaw, and you know, to criticize Jason Light, which I did in a Fab Five, was there was no need to cut J.R. Sweezy before training camp. I think what he was set on, and also Warhop as well, so this is personal and coaching, is, well, we like Caleb Benenock. We think that he's going to transition to guard, and if not, then we have Alex Kappa. We don't want to put a third dog in that fight and stunt the growth because there's only so many reps to go around in training camp.
You're right.
And if we have Sweezy in the mix, and we don't think he's going to rebound because he didn't rebound after a surgery in 2017, I think that he was premature in that decision. And I think that he that's the personnel. That's the downfall of personnel sometimes, is they believe so much in their draft picks, and they want to push those guys in the field.
Well, to be fair to Jason and his guys, J.R. Sweezy was the Caleb Benenock in 2017, right?
He wasn't as bad.
He was bad. We forget how bad he was.
Yeah, but he wasn't
he
as
was
bad.
He was really bad. Probably not quite as bad.
He wasn't like
he
a...
He was not $6.5 million
like
good,
I know
that much.
Matador, but he certainly had a cape.
Yeah. He definitely did a lot of Olays himself. I mean, he really... Really sure he was definitely the weak link on that offensive line that year,
but
for
still,
sure.
I think you take Sweezy to training camp and at least
no, I agree.
At least
Why
give
not?
Him a week or two in
Why
pads.
Not? Why not? Because he was coming off of back surgery,
right?
And you know,
and then he had the broken leg,
and then you know he's playing in you know in the heat of Tampa, something he's not overly familiar with, coming from Seattle. I mean, there's a lot of adjustments that this guy had to make. So maybe in his second year as a full time starter, he would have been, and he would have been better than Caleb Benenock because he played pretty darn good up in Seattle this year. But you've got to improve this offensive line, Trevor. In your battle plan, you had the Buccaneers re-signing Donovan with the franchise tag, but drafting
not in the battle plan. In the
round table, and you had him drafting Jonah Williams out of Alabama.
Yeah.
Why is there? Here's the thing that I don't understand: is there's no consensus when I look, because I do the mock draft roundup every Monday. There's no consensus on the best left tackle in this draft. There is with you, and really your staff tends to go with Jonah because I think Kyle or Joe or somebody also had him at number five to the Buccaneers. But then you've got Walter Football, who's got the Florida kid as the best offensive tackle in the draft.
I know that some people aren't too high on this offensive line class, but that just might be more of them saying, okay, the class might not be like that good at left tackle, right? Okay, so like Jonah Williams is... he's really only the top like left tackle, and people think, okay, you know, maybe you don't want this guy at tackle taking on the longer defensive ends. Maybe he's more of a right tackle. He did play right tackle his first year at Alabama, and he played great. Or maybe he's more of a guard. Jonah Williams can play tackle, if you ask me. But then Juwan Taylor, right tackle, stud right tackle.
Yeah.
Cody Ford, right tackle, stud right tackle. Right. Okay, Dalton Reisner, if you want to get him, he played right tackle, and I think he could play right tackle really well. So
David Edwards, Wisconsin.
Right. So
there's some guys.
So it actually lines up really well for the Bucks. Like the Bucks could, I think, you know, Donovan Smith, I think, is going to be back next year.
Going to take a number five for a right tackle?
Well, here's the thing. You could trade down.
Yeah.
The beauty of being a top five team that doesn't need a quarterback is that you know you can move.
Right.
So, you know, we do mock drafts and, you know, sometimes we have trades, sometimes we don't, just because you want to give people a scenario at where they're picking at. But if I'm the Buccaneers and I don't know exactly how they think of this offensive line class, you can move down to 7. You can move down to 10 with Denver. You can move down to 13 with Miami. Mm-hmm. All of those teams can move up for a quarterback, and Tampa can still get a damn good right tackle to plug in
Williams,
right away.
Taylor, Reisner, those guys, they're
Reisner,
available mid-round, mid-first
I think Reisner's
round.
Probably...
Not Jonah Williams, though. He's going to go top 10, right? Some team's going to...
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that
the NFL loves that him at guard.
He's not a prototype left tackle.
He's good enough.
His measurables on what
he's
prototypical.
But
and that's
so
freaks.
Is Donovan Smith. Donovan is good enough to play left tackle, and you've already got this guy. You know what you have in him. You know, to go and draft Jonah Williams to say, oh, he's our left tackle of the future,
I think
is a bit of a risk.
That's an interesting point, because I think the worst part about Donovan Smith is that he's frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he's not talented, right?
Right,
so
exactly.
That's, I think, the most frustrating part about it. But, no, if you're the Bucks and your primary thought is offensive line, which if you ask me, it probably should be, you coming away with one of Jonah Williams, Juwan Taylor, and Cody Ford,
mm-hmm.
you're happy.
Yeah.
That's what I would
say. Just not at number five.
And I'll tell you
it
right now.
It doesn't have to be number
listen,
five.
Listen, there are Buck fans listening to this Pewter Nation podcast screaming right now, what about cornerback? You guys aren't talking about cornerback and defensive backs.
I hope they don't sound like that.
Sound like?
If they do,
they sound like,
if
yeah.
your voice sounds like that and you're listening to Pewter Nation podcast, you're not allowed to listen
anymore.
Don't
call in.
Yeah, do not call in.
Yeah. Well, the point is, though, is if you look at what the Buccaneers have done in the secondary in terms of draft picks, right? They've spent a second-round pick on Justin Evans, a free safety. They spent a fourth-round pick on Jordan Whitehead. That's two picks mm-hmm. in the last two drafts on safeties. They've drafted three cornerbacks in the last three drafts. They had drafted Carlton Davis and M.J. Stewart in the second round last year, and then back in the first round in 2016.
Vernon Hargraves.
Okay, so they've thrown a lot of draft
Ryan
ammunition.
Smith.
Yeah, and exactly. Ryan Smith, fourth-round pick as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he's a candidate to start, but he's certainly there for depth and special teams. But they have spent picks on corners and safeties, and I think what they need, and the reason why I got kind of taken to the woodshed by some of the fans, why do you have the Bucs drafting a cornerback in the seventh round? It's clearly a position of need. Okay, you're forgetting free agency.
Yeah.
They lost Brent Grimes, a veteran corner. They should get another veteran corner to come in free agency. They lost, they didn't lose, but they're going to probably part ways with Chris Conte, not mm-hmm. bring him back. So they're going to want a veteran safety to come in. This team does not need another rookie cornerback. This team
Landon
does not need
Collins.
Landon Collins. Or Tyron Matthew or Deion Buchanan. From Arizona. There are some veterans out there that I think would be much better fits for this defense rather than bringing in another rookie cornerback in the first round and having him start opposite Carlton Davis.
We saw what happened when rookie cornerbacks play football in this league.
Carlton Davis and Jay Stewart and Vernon Hargraves combined have about 60 games played or 50 games played with one interception.
Yeah.
Okay? And I guarantee they've given up a slew of touchdowns. That's what happens in the NFL. It's trial by fire.
Sure.
And I think this team needs a veteran cornerback and a veteran safety. That's why at this time I'm not going cornerback early for the Buccaneers because that's not what they need. They need to see if this new coaching staff can get Vernon Hargraves to play and play well and play up to the draft billing. And the same thing with Carlton Davis and M.J. Stewart.
The thing is, though, if they move down, say they move down around, you know, middle of the pack, 14, 15, somewhere along there, 13, then that opens up the option to maybe go in with a guy like a Greedy Williams if he's your top-rated player on your board.
Honestly, I like Byron Murphy better from Washington.
Really?
I like him. I like DeAndre Baker from Georgia. It's not that I have anything against
him. One of the mocks had DeAndre Baker from Georgia in there.
I don't know how fast he is, though.
At five. Yeah, they had him at five.
That's going to be the question.
If I'm Tampa, I'm not drafting another guy who I don't know if he can run.
You need like Denzel Ward.
That was the M.J. Stewart thing. It's like, oh, M.J. Stewart. I even watched M.J. Stewart's tape. And it's like, wow, really physical guy.
Yep.
Has a knack for the ball. When he plays confident, you love how he plays. And he just could not keep up with NFL athletes.
I think M.J. Stewart is actually going to be moved to safety.
Yeah, I think that's a
good
option for him.
We've kind of heard that through the grapevine that might, and then you have him competing with Jordan Whitehead, and there's a slew of safeties in this team. I think they can play. They're not ideal, right? But I mean, Isaiah Johnson can play in the league. Andrew Adams can play in the league.
I just want Greedy Williams because he rides horses around campus. Is that right? Is he the one that does
Devin
that?
Devin White.
Oh, Devin White. You know what? That's why I want
Oliver
Devin White.
Ed Oliver does, too. I was watching an Oliver documentary, and he's like a big horse dude.
Kendall Beckwith is huge in horses.
Right, I know.
Yeah.
Jonathan Banks,
yeah.
Former. Rest in peace, Jonathan.
He didn't die.
He's still alive, though, right?
He's still alive.
Yeah. He didn't die.
He's probably on his horse farm up in Mississippi right now, as a matter of fact.
Listen to this podcast. What's up?
All right, we need to take care of business right now. And listen, this is a true story, guys. This is why T.A. Mahoney's is your one-stop shop for all of your fishing needs. Earlier this week, got a little lake at the house. Decided to do a little fishing on my lunch break. I go out. I have a few minutes. Toss out my watermelon seed Zoom 6-inch power worm. And bass are, you know, right on that edge of maybe bedding a little bit. I hadn't been getting any bites lately because of the cold, but it had been warming up. So threw my worm and hook out, and boom. I set the hook. Water went crazy. Oh, my gosh. Probably a top 5-pound bass in my life. And I've caught a lot of bass, a lot of big bass. Monster fish.
Did a gator come and eat it?
Nope.
Okay.
Even worse. That would have been great. I would have loved that. That would have been a great story. Instead, Mr. Cheapo here, Mark Cook,
yeah.
I get it up close to the bank. I'm getting ready to go get it.
You don't have a net.
Shakes its head. That's true, too. But people don't really use nets for bass. But okay. Anyway, it gets off. I'm like, oh, my. I didn't say, oh, my goodness. I was dropping all kind of words. And they were profanity tirades. But I pulled it up. I was like, what happened? She literally is a she because it was so big. I had to have been a female. Yeah. Straightened my hook out. Wow. Why? Because I bought cheap hooks at one of the big box stores instead of going to T.A. Mahoney's and getting quality bass hooks. That's right, folks. Go. Hooks, sinkers, bobbers, from the smallest thing all the way to the biggest things. T.A. Mahoney's is your one-stop shop. Well, I learned my lesson, and guess what I did?
You bought a flare gun.
I did buy a flare gun in case I fell in the canal, and it is waterproof. But so far, I didn't need it. Although, if I would have been able to shoot that fish when she got off with the flare, I would have done that.
You're reeling it and just kill it with the flare gun.
But I bought cheap hooks, guys. Don't buy cheap hooks. Go to T.A. Mahoney's. Get the quality hooks. They've got everything quality that you need to fix your boat, to fish. If you got a little pond in your neighborhood, if you do saltwater fishing, if you go offshore and you go shark fishing, if you're looking for jaws, they can help you out. T.A. Mahoney's located at 50th Street in Atomo, in business since 1948. Check them out online. TAMahoney.com.
Okay, before this podcast, I post...
That's the name of the podcast, Don't Buy Cheap Hooks.
Don't Buy Cheap Hooks.
It has nothing to do with the podcast.
Okay.
It's a true story, though.
Okay. I want to hook you with some questions Hey-o. From Twitter. I threw out a little Pewter Nation hashtag.
And people said, were twatting? Twatted you back?
They were, yeah. So I'm just going to do some rapid-fire stuff here. I'll throw this out, and you guys can just give me some quick answers. What creates and sustains a winning culture? This is from the Play Reaction. And he asks, is it talent? Is it coaching? Is it simply just winning games?
I think it's coaching.
I think it's mentality, which goes along with the coaching. Yeah. I think that's a big part of it, is a mentality. The Patriots walked out on that football field last Sunday expecting to win another Super Bowl trophy. Yeah. Expecting.
I think everything starts from top to bottom.
It does.
But I think that even though that statement is true, the biggest impact comes from coaching, because coaching is the link between the front office's mentality of what kind of football team they want to draft and acquire and assemble to the players every day of who they want these players to become. And so I think that both being obviously good teachers of the game and also being able to relay kind of what you want as a team, I really do think boy, over the last 2 years, I feel like I've learned this a lot more, that it's coaching.
It's so coaching much. Because you heard it on the podium when Bill Belichick took the Lombardi Trophy, and he thanked the players. I mean, he put the praise on the players.
Right.
Bruce Arians, he's going to say this here in Tampa. He said this when I watched the All or Nothing Arizona Cardinals 2015 season. He says, how good do you guys want to be? It's up to you.
Yeah.
This is your team. How good do you want to be? You want to be 8-8 or you want to be 13-3?
Yep.
So I think it's coaching.
Has to be coaching.
Well, Matt, thanks.
Appreciate that input.
Yeah,
that's
good stuff.
Adam Sproles, I think this is directed to Trevor here. How are things in the lady front? Has the new car impressed anyone?
Hey-o.
Or too busy with the more important things in life like Buccaneer football?
I don't know if that's more important things in life, but busy is definitely something. I will just say that the car helps.
Car helps.
Hell, I was hitching a ride with Trevor the other day trying to get in that car. He just kept driving, but I was trying. It's a sharp car.
All right. Jay Walters asks, are you hoping for another trade-down scenario this year to acquire more capital, meaning more draft picks? Is this a year that the class depth would lend itself well for that?
When I look at these mock draft roundups, and Trevor can speak to this a little bit more, and I mentioned it earlier, there's not even a consensus at number one, right?
Yeah, or even like top quarterback.
I mean, there's a lot of there's a lot of varying degrees of things. Yes, Bosa is right up there, but there's a couple other guys, the Kentucky defensive end, Josh Allen.
Yeah,
and, those are kind of 1A, 1B kind of deals. And then we were talking about offensive linemen. There's not that Quentin Nelson in this draft, right? We just plug and play. We know for 10 years he's going to be a Pro Bowl kind of guy.
Yeah.
So, I think when you have that scenario, then I think you would be more open to trade down scenarios and acquiring another pick. And, Scott, you actually had them doing that in your mock draft. Talk about
trading
that briefly.
Trading down to number 7 with Jacksonville, which they need a quarterback.
Now, you didn't say who Jacksonville drafted, though. I was curious. In your mind, who was Jacksonville going to take?
I don't know.
Well, who would you take if you're – taking a quarterback at number 7.
Oh, boy.
Put you on the spot.
I wouldn't take a quarterback at number seven. I don't think there's a quarterback that's worthy of taking in the top ten. We know, and we know teams are going to because that's what happens.
Right. Jacksonville literally has
they
to.
Have to.
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah, I would.
Who would you take,
I would
Trevor?
Maybe.
Who's
I would maybe
the top quarterback?
Roll the dice. Drew Luck.
Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Or as Quinnen Williams calls him, Calamari.
Calamari. It's good too.
All right, so we got Jay Walters. To answer that question, I think this is another year, and Jason Light's done this twice, 2016, trading down a couple spots from 9 to 11 to get Hargraves.
Last year,
Vita Vea. Yeah,
and they drafted Derwin James?
No, they didn't.
No.
All right, Chris, our good friend Chris, wants to ask, and this is probably for the millennials. Here, do you eat at Chipotle?
I don't know what that is.
Okay, exactly. So for Trevor and for Matt,
all right.
Is Chipotle jumping the shark by adding milkshakes as a menu option? Is this their attempt to give lactose-intolerant guests more indigestion issues than their regular menu offerings? And shouldn't they just stick to what they do? Matt?
I got no problem with them giving milkshakes. I mean, who doesn't like a milkshake? It's delicious.
Me.
Fact.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought you were going to keep going. I was going to keep saying fact
you get
after
numerous different flavors.
Also a fact.
The only thing is, you're so full after eating a burrito. How do you have enough room in your stomach to now down a milkshake? It almost seems like too much. But another thing, you could just order that milkshake, bring it home with you, put it in the fridge, have it as a dessert later.
Or big fact.
At your own leisure. So, I'm all for it. Why not?
I'm never going to have a milkshake at Chipotle ever. So
if they did, it would be too spicy.
It's like
all their food is too spicy.
That's going to have cilantro in it.
Will it also include at the bottom some Rolades? Remember the screwballs we used to get from the ice cream man? Those little cones, and at the bottom had that gumball at the bottom?
Yes, exactly.
They need to do that with Rolades.
Yeah,
Chipotle
agreed.
Is going to do that with milkshakes.
You know how you like Chipotle does queso now?
Yeah.
I've never had it. I never will.
Okay.
Just because, like, this was the never-ending battle between Chipotle and Moe's.
Right.
Everybody would always say, like, oh, Moe's has queso. So,
what
like,
is queso?
Better. It's like...
Queso what?
It's like, take, you know, like Velveeta.
Yeah.
Like, go to the store, like, take Velveeta,
yeah.
Just put it in the microwave.
Oh, you
in
mean
a
melted
bowl,
cheese?
And then just melt it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Throw, like, little peppers and
so,
oh, okay. Yeah, not familiar.
All right, Simon says... Get it? Simon says...
Touch your nose.
If both were viable options as far as cap space, et cetera, would you take Ingram or Coleman for the current team? I'm guessing that's Mark Ingram, running back from the Saints.
Is it Melvin Ingram?
Or Devin Coleman. Or Tevin. Sorry, Tevin Coleman from the Falcons.
Boy, it's a good question. I think
Devin fits in more of Bruce's style of that, you know, dynamic playmaker more so. But, boy, Ingram is one of those guys.
I think Ingram does, actually.
Yeah?
I think that Tevin... Is the better? I think that Tevin is the more overall talented running back. That's what I would say.
Uh-huh.
But I think that like pass catching has been Ingram's thing like the whole time, and they do not have a running back who can catch out of the backfield consistently.
Yes, they do. Ronald Jones.
Okay, so they do not have a running back who can catch out of the backfield consistently. So
not yet.
Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you this though. I think that like if Ingram were the dude. I can understand a little bit of rotation, maybe keeping all three of them, have a three-headed monster. If Tevin Coleman comes in here, what is Ronald Jones to this team? Like, Tevin Coleman is literally
expendable.
Just a better Ronald Jones.
He's the upgrade.
Right.
Yeah,
so, like,
sure.
Ingram's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Like, Ronald Jones can have a rotation there, but
yeah.
Tevin Coleman, I think, is kind of just a better Ronald Jones.
I think
now, I'm hoping Ronald Jones pans out. We talk about Ronald Jones like the dude's career is over.
His name's Ron Jones.
Sorry.
Remember?
RJ.
He has not earned the full name yet.
I'm hoping RJ bounces back. I really do. I took that.
Oh, God, that bourbon. Holy shit.
Oh, God. I did that right as you
took. This is what it's like to do cocaine. That burns. Oh.
That was well-timed, Trevor.
Give you guys the visual there.
Yeah, that was Powerade up the nose.
He took a sip of Powerade.
Some orange Powerade
purposely
right up the nose.
God. Gave the RG. I thought it was going to come out of your nose. I really did.
It's still kind of in there.
I thought we were going to have a really good Instagram content right there.
Oh, yeah.
But
word. You know, Powerade's got a little bit of more carbonation.
Notice I'm not drinking
anyways,
that
you're
water.
Hoping that Ronald Jones bounces back. There's a chance that he can. And if that's the case, you'd want Ingram as the compliment, I think. But if not, I do think that Tevin Coleman's a more talented back.
Kenny Barrett says, Cairo Santos or Matt Bryant for the foreseeable
not
future.
Not even close.
See, I disagree. I'm the one lone guy that doesn't want Matt Bryant
It's Cairo.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
it's Matt
Bryant. I was going to say. Wow. Me and you are the only two people that don't want Matt Bryant, but I'm wrong.
Do you believe in curses?
No.
What is wrong with you?
I'm Baptist.
How many years do you have to watch
ghosts,
this team?
I don't believe in curses. I don't believe in any of that stuff.
It's real.
Some people would say I'm Baptist. That means I believe in a lot of fairy tales. But I do believe in that fairy tale. I just don't believe in curses.
Matt Bryant, you got to sign him.
Gotta and then bring cut him.
You got to bring him into camp.
So what? He can break a hip.
On his I would way love out to the see the Buccaneers field? Sign Matt Bryant and Cairo Santos.
That's what I'm saying.
That's yeah, the
that
ideal.
Was, two that quarterbacks was the in yeah. camp. And the whole
you
thing
can't sign.
Like,
but he's due $4.5 million.
Who?
Matt Bryant. If you would, he's cleared waivers, so now he's a free agent.
Yeah.
But I mean, what kind of money is he going to draw? I don't think he's going to draw a lot. There's a reason the Falcons are getting rid of this guy.
Right.
You don't cut a guy.
$4 million was too much.
That still hurts.
Yeah.
You don't cut a guy who missed one field goal last year. One.
Right.
I mean, that's just Buccaneers well, have no idea what that. They can't even fathom having a kicker that only misses one field
you
goal.
You have to remember too.
Matt his groin and still make the kick.
Yeah 57 yarder against the
to
Bucks.
Beat the Buccaneers. Yeah, and not just that, but in that he also ended the Dirk Cutter regime with the game winning field goal down here.
Yep.
In week 17. So, but at the same time, the Falcons carried two kickers because Matt Bryant's age and you know the ability to be more prone to injury at age 43. He'll
carrying
be 44 this year.
To be more useful. Than- carrying the quarterbacks they had
I
last
think
year.
You'd make Agreed. A trade for Eddie Pinero personally.
Oh, now we're talking.
See, I knew I'd get Trevor revved up.
Eric Cullison asks, as much as you guys love Daryl Henderson, it's the running back from Memphis, would it be worth the risk of waiting until the fourth round and grabbing Robbie, I think he means Ronnie Anderson.
Yeah,
right?
Rodney Anderson.
Rodney.
The receiver on the Jets.
Yeah. Yeah, Rodney Anderson.
Interesting transition.
The Oklahoma running back. I think him and Barber and hopefully Jones would be a great trio. Also thoughts on Devin Bush. Think he fits as a 3-4 inside linebacker. Yeah. I like Devin White better than Devin Bush.
Well,
myself.
I mean, no question. No question about that. But he's talking, I think, about like later depth of linebacker. Yeah. I think that Devin Bush would actually be really great as a in a system where you're playing two inside backers. Mm-hmm. Devin Bush would be great because the whole knock on Devin Bush is that you're not sure like how quick twitch he is
right.
for playing as an only middle linebacker, but Duke can stuff the run, Duke can hit hard, and he can pursue when he starts getting going.
Yeah.
So
I just wonder though if they don't have that already in like a Kevin Minter, who already knows the system and can do that. I almost feel like if they sign Minter, which I think they're going to,
then,
for the experience
sure.
component, I think
I'm with you. Okay.
I think he's too much like Minter.
Rodney Anderson is interesting because he was my RB1 going into the year.
Tore his ACL.
He had a monster year last mm-hmm. year, but the problem with last year is that it was only his only healthy season. He has been hurt.
You mean 2017?
Yes, sorry, the year before.
Right.
That was his only healthy season. He has been hurt every single other season.
Yeah.
And so, big injury concerns, but that's why he's going to be in the fourth, fifth round. So, I mean,
no risk it, no biscuit?
Yeah, if you're talking about this as an option, hopefully get this dude in, make sure you don't have to rush him into whatever it is. Then
I like cornbread more than biscuits. I just want to tell Bruce Arians
no
that.
Biscuit, no cornbread doesn't make any sense.
That's true.
Everybody loves
everyone knows cornbread's better. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, listen, your job this week is to come up with a catchphrase that includes cornbread.
Okay.
It sounds as good as no risk it, no biscuit.
All right.
So just take your time on that. We'll talk about it the next podcast next week.
All right, I already had one.
What is it?
Don't watch cornbread, eat some more cornbread. No?
Okay,
no.
Take your time on that, Mark.
Not working? It's,
I mean, sure.
We'll talk about it next
week.
We'll
keep it in the list.
Yeah. All right, cornbread.
We think you can do better.
Next week I'll have one.
Yes.
I'll have a good one. Not a lot rhymes with cornbread.
Nez asks,
oh, corn fed.
What are our chances of getting Matthew, meaning Tyron Matthew, Peterson, meaning Patrick Peterson, or Kareem Hunt? I'm going to start with Patrick Peterson. No, they're not getting Patrick Peterson. The Cardinals are not trading.
I would say that it would be less than 10%.
Yeah.
Because you would have to be trading some serious capital, which they don't want to do.
What kind of math? What kind of year did math?
The Cardinals don't want to get rid of Patrick Peterson.
If the Cardinals were petty enough to demand that the Bucks give them a pick for Arians, they're not going to do this team any favors.
Yeah.
And I'm serious when I say that. If they were petty, because
Steve Keim and Jason Light are friends.
Was originally that they weren't going to have a pick.
Yeah.
So somebody over there got super petty about it. And demanded a pick.
Yeah, Michael Bidwell.
So if they're going to demand a pick, there's no way they're trading this team.
After
Patrick
watching
Peterson.
The All or Nothing series, which, again, I'm gonna write about it in my Fab Five for tomorrow, so check that out. I've got all the highlights in there, but I recommend Buccaneer fans
tomorrow,
out there.
What day is
you're gonna,
it?
Yeah, you're going to write it for Friday, you mean?
Yeah,
because somebody's
for
listening
Friday.
To this on Saturday.
Correct.
They're like,
what
wow,
day is
Fab's
it?
I wrote
Sunday.
About it on
it's Thursday
Friday.
Already.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Okay. But if you watch that, you'll see how much Michael Bidwell and who is the president of the Cardinals, and Steve Keim, the general manager, love Patrick Peterson. They're not letting him go. He is like the heartbeat of that team. Tyrann Mathieu, who played last year with the Houston Texans.
I'm interested to see what you guys think. Year. At a percent, like let's do percent.
I would say 60%.
I'd say lower than that. I don't. Again, this guy's not in his prime anymore, right? I mean, he signed a one-year deal. I know, but he's coming off of two ACLs in his NFL career.
But he had a bounce back year. He was
how did he do last year? I haven't looked at that.
He did very well. Right. It was a true bounce back year.
Did they have him playing primarily just safety? Did they move him inside to play some slot, or was it kind of all over?
Yeah, it was like a slot.
Yeah, he played slot safety.
Slash strong safety.
I do like that because I love the versatility to have a guy that can do all of those things. I'm gonna really go out on a limb here and say 50-50. He's either going to be here or not.
Great. Thank you. I would say 70. And I would say that the other 30% is simply just because contracts will come involved and how much money is guaranteed.
He's just signed a one-year deal with Houston?
He's out.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And Bruce Arians loves the kid.
And he loves Bruce. Yes. So I think 70. I'm going to say 70%.
All right.
I think the only reason why I'm not saying higher than 60 is because Landon Collins will probably be on the free agent market. Jason likes him.
And he's in the mix with his team. Absolutely.
Yeah, and also Deion Buchanan also. Thing is, though, Arizona
Landon
Cardinals.
Is going to get a ton of money. That's another Pro Bowl again.
Right.
I mean, this guy's going to.
I mean, Landon's really
good. But you know what? Look at what the safety market was last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible.
Poop.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe Landon's not going to get as much
money. T.J. Ward still don't have a job.
That's right.
Wow.
I think he's past his prime.
Oh, I mean, sure. Yeah. But, like, T.J. Ward's better than a lot of the safeties in the NFL. True. They're just playing for depth.
Kareem Hunt, I think the Bucs are going to make a run in signing him. I do. I think they're waiting to find out what the suspension is going to be once the league concludes its thing, because you don't want to just say, oh, we're going to sign you, and then it's a 12-game suspension. I think the suspension, from what I'm hearing, is going to be between 6 to 10 games.
Oh, whoa.
Yep.
6. It can't be more than 6, can it?
Yeah, it can.
I say 6. Yep. But, okay, so if it's 6 games, and you have him for 10. But, I mean, I think a lot depends, too. If they do go out and they were to sign a Coleman or a Mark Ingram, then I think the chances decrease that they're going to go after Kareem Hunt as well. But it depends on what comes first.
I'm going to say 30%. I'll just say 30%.
Okay.
I just don't think it's likely.
I'll say 29.
Give us a percentage, Matt.
I'm going to go 45%.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
What do you say? What's your percentage, Scott?
What's that?
What's your percentage?
65.
I'm going to go 66. I'm going to do the Price is Right thing where I bid $1 over.
Okay.
Hate those people.
$1, Bob.
Hate that. Yeah. Hate when they do the $1, and I hate when they go $1 over the highest bid. What's the highest bid? $7.95, $7.96.
Right.
Oh.
Come on,
Dan. As we wrap up this segment of the Pewter Nation podcast, Phil asks a question. If Quan demands a big money contract.
He won't.
Coming off a major injury.
He won't.
He will.
He can't.
He will.
He can't. His agent
His agent's Drew Rosenhaus. He's going to ask for big money.
All right, go
but
on.
If he can ask, if he demands a big money contract coming off a major injury, can you see Jason Light pursuing C.J. Mosley instead? C.J. Mosley's going to command big money contract.
Yeah, he's going to command more
so
than
So I think the question is if you're going to pay big money for an inside linebacker, do you want a healthy C.J. Mosley, or do you want a guy like Quan coming off a torn ACL?
I love Quan Alexander, but I would go Mosley if you're going to spend that much money. But I don't think – listen, they can
Mosley
demand –
Mosley's had a lot more familiarity in 3-4s both at Alabama and with the Raiders.
And he's going to command
more
money because
he's healthy. They can demand or command all they want.
Quan can expect
more, but he's not going to get big money. He's just – I mean – No team's going to dish out big money for
coverage.
Guy
gets money, right?
And coverage is what gets sacks money.
Well, if you are a outside linebacker, if you are an inside linebacker, coverage makes money.
Yeah.
You can find anybody.
If you get five picks and five sacks, and you're getting a king's ransom as an inside linebacker.
Right. And
agency.
So the thing with Quan has always been like, okay, well he's dude you want on the team. He's a guy you want in the locker room. He's somebody you'll fight for
he
the
had
team.
Three picks
love it.
A couple years ago.
He's just not that instinctual in coverage. And if you're putting him up against a guy like C.J. Mosley, I think C.J. Mosley is more instinctual in coverage. Now, Quan is a lot younger than C.J. Mosley is.
Now,
I've got it too, but C.J. Mosley is more healthy right now than Quan Alexander is.
I actually have a question from Twitter, and this is for all of us. And this comes from Gord's Farage. They ask, if you're going to go get a burger somewhere in the Tampa Bay area, where are you guys going to go? Gord's Farage asked this.
Thanks, Gord's Farage. I would go to a place that has a lot of locations in the Tampa Bay area, because wherever I am in Tampa, I can stop by and grab a fantastic beer and burger.
And you're a borderline alcoholic, so you got to have a big liquor selection.
Yes, especially local craft beers, which I love to ingest. So I'm going to say Ford's Garage.
Ford's Garage!
Yes.
That's a good place to go. You know why? number one, they sponsor this podcast, but number two, they've got a menu that you won't believe. And I don't mean just in food. Their alcohol selection is quite lengthy, too. Plus, they have these amazing all-day happy hour specials as well. Ford's Garage, multiple locations throughout the Bay Area, even all the way as far up as Dearborn, Michigan. I don't know where Dearborn is. I just know it's a long way away from here. But if it's you're up north, you had a... Really?
It is.
That's interesting. Learn something new every day, Trevor. Dearborn, Michigan is in Michigan. But anyway, check out Ford's Garage. You can find them online, and you can check out all of their menus at all of their locations by going to fordsgarageusa.com, not org, .com. Check them out online. Make sure when you go in, you let them know that you appreciate them sponsoring the Pewter Nation podcast. Have a beer, have a burger, have the salmon, have the steak, have the funnel cake fries, have the rum cake, have the lobster mac and cheese. I could go on and on and on. Ford's Garage, multiple locations through the Bay Area, and a proud sponsor of the, I just burped, Pewter Nation podcast.
Our last question is from Douglas Sean O'Connor, who asks, what does the Pewter Report crew? Irish? I'm going to guess.
Ren. Yeah. It's Ren.
Oh.
Petercast.
What does the Pewter Nation crew?
High five, me and Trevor. Petercast wins.
Oh, heck yes, yeah.
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 Woot, woot.
Yeah, that's awesome.
By the way, I got to mention this because one of our big listeners of this podcast is our good friend Nick Carter. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, Nick Carter, for their new album, DNA, their first studio album in 10 years, debuting number one on the Billboard charts.
That's awesome.
Mm. Also Grammy-nominated
single. Boy Bands Never Die.
Never Die. That's right. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Celebrated birthday last week, too.
So congratulations, yeah. Mr. Nick.
Happy birthday, yeah. Happy birthday, Trevor.
Yeah, happy birthday, Trevor.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you must do must be like a really busy time for you. The Draft Network, PewterReport.com. You got the Combine coming up. You guys playing the Sabres tonight, is that right? The Lightning?
Somebody. I can't remember. In they full all just swing. Run yeah. I just show up and score.
How's a blood clot in your arms doing? Good.
I better.
Good.
That's good.
I'm glad they didn't have to take it off.
I stopped getting like bacon on stuff, but you know, it's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah. Well, I love that, you know, you and Cooch have really got your thing going there, so keep it up. Douglas Sean O'Connor asks, what does the Pewter Report crew have new in store for fans this 2019 season? Well,
nothing.
Stay tuned.
All right, see you guys.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. We don't know. No, we've got plenty of things planned.
Well, the biggest thing, I think, coming up later this month is the Bucks battle
plans. The battle plans will be fun.
Yeah. And we look forward to doing those.
Yeah, battle plan. We've got plenty of mocks still coming up.
Yep. Going to the Combine. Trevor's going to be going. I'll be up there as well. So that'll be great to check out not just Bruce Arians and Jason Light at the podium. We'll have the full recap of what they have to say, but also some player interviews with a lot of talented draft prospects.
And, Trevor, you're going to have to teach Scott how to do that little video thing you do real quick and post it on Twitter real fast because you were a master of that last year.
Yeah. Press the button.
Show him which button to push on his phone.
No, I can do that.
I got it.
Okay.
Should we get him an iPad so it's a little bigger since he's getting older? His vision's starting to go?
Yeah. So he could be like one of those like weird dudes who's like arms fully extended with the iPad in his hand.
I hope my mom doesn't listen to this podcast, but she would bring her iPad to my son's football games and take pictures with it.
Oh, my gosh. That's so embarrassing.
No, Mom. No. Yeah.
Better camera. It's a bigger camera.
It's a bigger screen to see. I don't think the camera's any better than on her iPhone.
Probably true.
Anyway, she's older, so we'll let her do that. All right, so let's go ahead and wrap this up, I guess. Matt, I really appreciate your contributions to the show.
That's what I'm here for.
Matt's like really depressed. He had to take a back seat. Trevor came back, and I didn't tell Matt that Trevor was going to be here today because Matt would have just not shown up. Oh, did you?
I filed the Pewter Report.
I thought for sure if Matt knew that, he's like, I'm not coming. Because Matt now has the equipment. So it used to be we didn't want Trevor to die. Now we can't allow Matt to die because Scott and I still have no idea how to do this.
I was thinking as well, when you give me the intro and you're like, our intern, Matt Matera, you could say the producer, Matt Matera, or editor of the podcast.
Just remember, I'm still your boss. I'll call you what I want to call you. Your intern, Matt.
Scott, thoughts?
Scott's my boss, so he can say
it's like Mom and Dad. When Dad says no, you just go to Mom or something.
That's awesome. Well played, Matt.
Yeah.
Our producer, Matt Matera, here at PewterReport.com.
Producer, intern, Matt.
Of the Pewter Nation
nice
podcast.
Intern producer.
Actually, let's go ahead and make an announcement.
Okay.
Taylor and Matt are no longer just interns.
That's correct.
They are now members of the Pewter Report staff. Yes, so congratulations to these guys.
You're
going to
get some celebratory polos with the PewterReport.com logo on them.
Yes.
This is a huge honor. Thank you very much.
And we will get you a banana hammock with the Pewter Report logo. Scott and I wear those to all the NFL owners' meetings out by the pool. No?
No.
No.
Just you.
Well, I'm going to Phoenix. I got mine already on order. All right. Again, all these things, Trevor's like, God, I'm so glad I don't do this every week with these guys now. There's so much editing to do. All right. Anyway, for Scott Reynolds, Trevor Sikkema, Matt, the intern / producer. Taylor's not here. I'm Mark Hooks, and we'll see you next week for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
Out.
Out. Oh.